We began a new series last week, one where we're going to look at the big story of the Bible. Four sentences, four main ideas from the Old Testament, four sentences and four main ideas from the New. We began last week in Genesis with creation, and that first sentence to get us started was this: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," the first verse of the Bible. We talked about three big questions raised in that Genesis account. Where are we? Who are we? And what's gone wrong? We left off last week with the yearning, the need, the hope for an answer to that question of what's gone wrong. Is there any solution? And so we come today to the second big theme that we're going to look at, and it's this from Genesis 12. All people on earth will be blessed through you. And that's Abraham, God talking to Abraham. Today we're going to dive into the first telling, kind of the core telling of what God's answer is, God's response to this problem of sin and brokenness in humanity, in the earth itself, in the nations. We're going to see God move toward us through this promise he made to Abraham. So that's where we're going to start today. What's the solution to all that we talked about from the fall, from sin, from disobedience to God? I want to start with God's response. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they broke the one rule, one law that God had given them, when they listened to the serpent and grasped after what it would be like to know what God knows, God's response to them was not to turn away. In fact, they were hiding, remember, when God came to the garden, but God moved toward them. God moved into the problem and the situation, and that's going to be the pattern throughout Scripture. I mean, think about Jesus, God moving into the neighborhood, coming into the world to address the great problem of the world. I loved Joni's illustration, right? When you remember, she was pouring that liquid into the one container, which represented Abraham. And it was overflowing into the larger container that represented the world. That was not an accident. God arranged it that way. And that's what we're going to look at today, how God blessed this one man, Abraham, and through him, through that overflowing of blessing in his life, blesses the whole world. And that's going to be God's answer, God's solution to the problem of sin and a fallen and broken and hurting world. And it's not just here in Genesis 12, but it's the beginning of the whole story that runs the whole length of the Bible, how God moves toward us with help and with hope. So God comes to Abraham there in Genesis 12 and makes a promise. A covenant is the technical term for it. And it was a very formal arrangement in those days, just as something like a marriage is today. In fact, they share a lot in common. At a wedding ceremony, a marriage, two people pledge themselves with vows, right, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, as long as we both shall live. God is witness, those gathered are witnesses. Well, the ancient covenant was very much like that. There was language that invoked the deity, God, with God as my witness, and on my life, I vow this thing. And that was a covenant. Well, that's what God did with Abraham. But what's interesting, what was a little bit different from the hundreds of other covenants going on in that day, was that all the promises were one direction. God said, I promise you these things can't swear on God because God is God, on my name, right? And with my life, my existence at stake. That takes on amazing implications when you think about the story of Jesus is still for the sake of this promise to heal and to redeem humanity and the world and the nations. God enters into the world in Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human, and does, in fact, for his name's sake, give up his life to maintain this covenant. That's one reason throughout Scripture, one of the chief descriptions of who God is, what God is like, is that God is faithful. Because God pledged on his own name and existence to keep these promises. So what are the promises? Well, here they are in short form. I want to read to you from Genesis 12. You already heard this, but let me read it again. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord says to Abraham, go forth from your country, from your relatives and your father's house to the land I will show you. And here are the promises. I will make you a great nation. That was children and descendants, grandchildren become a large and great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's Genesis 12, 1 through 3. So what are the three promises that God staked his name and his existence on? These three things. The first I want to highlight his children, right? Or he would become a great nation. Remember, Abraham and Sarah were old and childless. So the seeing this promise fulfilled to become a great nation involved not a little doubt, some laughter, some faith, some drama in the family. If you remember the story of Sarah and Hagar and kind of Abraham's backup plan in case God didn't come through. All of that unfolds in the story of Genesis, but it is the story of God faithfully giving Abraham and Sarah children, and they began to multiply and became a great nation. The second promise was for land, and seeing that promise fulfilled, oh my goodness, involved a lot of drama again. These are all the stories you'll read in Genesis and the books that follow. Before they got to the land, there was 400 years of slavery. And then after God delivered Abraham's descendants out of slavery in Egypt, there was this wandering in the wilderness, in the desert. In each of these, there was, you know, this complex interweaving of the people's faithlessness, disobedience, and God's faithfulness, and continuing to move towards them and enter into their experience and draw them towards the thing he had promised. And when they finally get to the land, there's all sorts of conflict with the other peoples there. There's lots of breaking of God's commandments in terms of worshiping the foreign gods. And there is a period of them enjoying the land, but then after that, after the kingdom is established, disobedience and faithfulness again leads to exile and being taken from the land. And as we follow that promise, it's easy to think, well, God is faithful, but now what's happened? Have the humans derailed this? Until you get to Jesus, who arguably the biggest part of his message was announcing the fulfillment of this land promise when he taught the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, not the kingdom of David or Israel, but the kingdom of God is here. God has been faithful, even when all that kept arriving and failing and falling apart. The kingdom is here in your midst. And thinking about the promise of children in a nation, also when you get to Jesus and the New Testament, you see what's actually in the Jewish law, this path for non-Jews to become part of the spiritual family of God, that's thrown wide open with Jesus and with the New Testament, when in Christ there is no longer a distinction of Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, but all the earth, all who believe are invited to become part of that family of Abraham, family of God. The third promise that God stands behind with his name and his existence and his faithfulness is that of blessing. And I want to talk for a moment about what the concept of blessing is. We hear it and we tend to think of, you know, winning the lottery, getting the fancy car, material prosperity. In the Old Testament, the word that The Hebrew word that best captures this idea of blessing and can be translated blessing is shalom. It is a word that's rich in meaning. It means kind of all at once peace with God and each other. It means blessing. It can mean wholeness, health, well-being. But what it best describes, to really wrap your mind around it, it is what you experience when you are in God's will, when you are obedient to God and following the Lord and doing what it is that He wants you to do. That's the place of blessing. So it's possible to experience wealth and riches and health and not be in God's will, and that's not spiritual blessing. That's something else. That's, you know, we might call it that, but that's not biblical blessing. It's also possible to be poor and be hard-pressed and be in God's will and there in that place be blessed. So God's promise of blessing to Abraham is, I will bless you. What he and his descendants find, this is also the story of the Bible, is as they get out of God's will, they stop experiencing that blessing. God says, come to me, abide with me, and you will know my blessing. And as they do experience it. But here's the and then, God did all that. Remember Joni's picture. God poured out all that children, land, and blessing on Abraham and on his children so that through them God would bless, and more than bless, heal and redeem and restore humanity and the earth. And the nations, all that was messed up there in the fall and with sin, that God would address that. All that is through Abraham and these promises. So that's the last thing. God's purpose, right? It's not accidental. It's purposed, is to bless Abraham in order to make right and heal and redeem and restore everything. Humanity, the earth, the nations. We would probably give up or turn away. And sometimes that's how we treat ourselves. It's like, oh, Robert, you've messed up. You've disappointed this person. You should just give up. Surely God would give up on you. But that's not who God is. If you read the scriptures, God does not turn away. God presses in. God moves towards us. God approaches into our lives with this promise. It's not an empty promise. It's rooted in who God is, in God's very name and existence. And God will literally go to the cross, will die for the sake of that promise and being faithful to it. So just like God did to Abraham, God offers us, you and me, invites us to be blessed so that we may then be a blessing. What a great thing. What good news. What hopeful news. After ending where we did last week with the world's a mess, look at what God has done, particularly in Jesus, but even starting there with Abraham. Next week, we're going to look at a third great theme of the Old Testament, of Scripture. We're going to dig into that theme of deliverance and redemption and look at the Exodus story of when God rescued, redeemed his people from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And our verse will come from Exodus 20. It's this. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And again, we're going to see how that initial story, God keeps delivering, keeps redeeming, keeps bringing us freedom on through the whole Bible into our own experience today. Amen.